And so today, it might feel a little weird, but discipline can create some simplicity in your home. So that's kind of the emphasis of today. Last year, I talked about discipline, so some of the things I'm going to talk about today are just the things I talked about last year too, but I'm not going to go into as much detail. So if you want a little bit more detail on some of those things at the beginning of my talk, just go back and listen. I think it's still on the app. You can just listen to last year's discipline talk that hashed out some of these details, because I really want to incorporate chores into our talk today. So that's where Kristen is going to come in. So, real quick, I'm going to tell you about, let's see if I did this right. Yes. That's what my family looked like when I started Mom to Mom, and this is what my family looks like now. So you can see a little morphing there. So I cannot talk today without mentioning my mom and dad. They are incredible inspiration to me, and they are Russ and Lynn Green right there on the side, and they are just such a source of knowledge and inspiration for what I'm talking about today. So I feel like they deserved a tribute to this. So I will tell you, I'm the type of person that puts slides up with a whole lot of words on it. So if you want to take pictures, you may want that today, because I'm not going to say everything that's up on the slide just because I'm trying to go fast. So discipline. So discipline obviously is creating some control in your life. You want to have self-control. Well, how do we do that for our children? We want them to have self-control, but maybe the two-year-old isn't quite there yet, right? So we want to help them get to the point that they have self-control, but we're going to do it with loving correction, okay? So a lot of things I'm going to say today might sound opposite to what you normally hear about discipline, but I think it's the best way, in my opinion. So these are three quick points to say about your mindset for discipline. Pay it now or pay it later. You're going to have to pay the price, okay? If your child has an issue that needs to be worked on, just do it now. Work on it now, because the benefit and the reward will come later, and it is so beautiful when they're 13 because you worked on it when they were 3. So I encourage you to do those hard things now. The price, the reward is great. If you wait till later, the price is bigger. It might be exhausting now, but it is going to simplify your life eventually. So just pay that price now. Just be a long-term thinking parent. Y'all remember Elizabeth Pearson? She talked a lot about being a long-term thinking parent. Okay, parents can do hard things. Sometimes as a parent, we have to do the thing that we don't want to do in order to accomplish the thing that is much more important. So just have some self-discipline and go, okay, I am exhausted. I am so tired. I do not want to deal with my kids' issue that they are having right now, but I can do hard things. I'm going to pay the price now, and I'm going to discipline right now. I'm going to try. I'm going to work on this thing. So just remind yourself. I mean, Jesus did it. You know, God, and I won't talk through all of that, but God is a loving father, and he disciplined his children. If you go back and read, I'm doing Bible recap right now, and if you go back and read the Old Testament, I mean, God disciplines his children because he loves us enough. And we love our children enough that we want to produce wonderful people out of them. So let's do those hard things. So that's kind of the mindset I want us to have. These are the 8 things that I pretty much touched on last year, so I'm just going to do a brief version of it before we get into the chores. But these are the 8 things I'm about to talk about related to the environment that you want to set up in your household on this topic. All right, so margin. If you have a lot going on in your life and you are spinning 17 plates, you don't have enough margin in your life, space, time, energy to pour into what we're talking about, to pour into disciplining your children. Now, you may not have a choice in it, and life just has to happen that way for you, and that's hard, and I'm sorry. But if at all possible, can you eliminate something in your life so that you have margin and time and energy to be present at the moment that your children need this attention and this work that needs to be done in them? Partner with your spouse. Obviously, that can be hard in different marriages. You may not be on the same page. But if you can, as best you can, talk to your husband about this and what you're thinking on today's topic. Maybe take a picture of the slide and say, we need to talk about this. We need to be on the same page, because doing it alone is so much harder. So if you have a partner, there are many times that they may pick up the pieces that you didn't get a chance to handle, or you're exhausted. And so you really need them to step in. And so if you know that they're on the same page as you, y'all have the same goals in mind, they will jump in, and just don't try to control them. I mean, they may do it a little differently and be okay with that. If you're still on the same page, your goals are the same. So just trust them and don't over control your husband. I've seen that too much, and it doesn't usually go very well. Building the same team mindset, it's only point number three, but boy, this is like huge. I would say my mom did this so well. She really parented us with we instead of you. Like, we are on the same team. We both want you to be a good person. And so we need to work on self-control. Whatever it is that your child needs a little work on, you know, temper. You have a really bad temper. You know, I notice that you're having a hard time with your temper. What can we do about that? You know, when your child calms back down, what can we do about that? Let's work on that, because I'm on your team. It's you and me against maybe the world or whatever is happening around you, but you two are together. You are your child's advocate, and if they always know that that's your mindset, even when you have to say something and do something that they don't like, you can still remind them, remember, I'm doing this because I love you, and we're working on this behavior, or we're working on this skill, or we're working on this chore. I'm asking you to do this because I love you, and we're working on becoming an even better person. So building that same team mindset. All right, relationship. Creating a relationship with your children. I mean, that probably seems super obvious to you guys, but I've just seen too many times where, especially older, like teenage kids, they or even preteens, they just become rebellious. And most of the time, that rebellion is coming because the parent doesn't have a relationship being strong. So rules without relationship will breed rebellion. So you really want to be creating that relationship now, when they're 3, 4, 7, 10, because when they do have some more rebellious behaviors, that's going to happen. Just know that you've built in a bank of trust with them and a relationship with them that you're going to need years ahead, when some of those battles might be different later ages. Don't be on a power trip. You know, some parents are like, I don't know, I see a lot of teachers like this too, and it just makes me crazy. Get off your power trip. You know, stop just trying to control your children. You just want to love them into good behavior, okay? I mean, I know that doesn't always work. Sometimes we have to have rules and consequences and rewards, but if you can, build that bank of trust, meaning like, you may need to not worry about the dishwasher and washing the windows. You may just need to get on the floor and play Legos with your kid, even though you kind of don't want to. Play Legos with your kid. Color at the table with your kid. Run outside and play soccer. Do something that your child wants to do, and that's building a bank of trust with them. So that when you are doing a correction and a negative experience, you've already built some positive experiences with them, and they're more likely to be cooperative. So the level of cooperation parents get from their child is usually equal to the level of connection their child feels with their parent. So just keep that in mind. Not always completely, but a lot. Treat your child with respect. I won't go through all those. I'm going to go through honor approach for a second, guiding your child's heart. A lot of times we try to get the behavior to change, and really we should be looking at getting the heart to change. So, have you heard, I think I said this story last year, but I'll say it again because it's such a good example. Let's say the teacher says, Johnny, sit down. And Johnny's like, Johnny, sit down. Johnny, sit down. Johnny, sit down. Johnny sits down. He says, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. You know, his heart is rebellious. So that's not what we want. We don't want to change the behavior and not get the heart to follow. We want the heart to be the change, and the behavior will follow, okay? So that's kind of that honoring approach to guiding their heart as you're training them. Just quick point, apologize, say you're sorry if you do something wrong. They really respect that. Kids, you're not looking weak when you do that. You're looking strong. You're being honest and saying, like, I did that wrong, sorry. Be gentle and be firm. Ooh, well, thanks, that's helpful, that's hard. Be gentle and be firm. Be gentle, you can say things gently to your children, but still be firm and consistent, okay? Like, firmness is not meanness, but you're a loving parent so much that you are gonna withstand your child's pleading and begging for the candy. You know that you already said no, so you need to stick with it. That's firm. You can say it nicely, oh, I'm so sorry, we're not gonna do candy in the checkout lane today. Remember we talked about that? That's being firm and gentle at the same time. All right, set your child up for success. So remember, you're trying to see your child win more than you're trying to catch them failing. See, I told you you would do that wrong. Ah, that's not really gonna be a successful way to get your child to join your team. You want them to win and succeed. So the most successful discipline is often not having to do a lot of discipline. That's kind of what you're working towards. But look, you're setting them up for failure if you are taking them to the grocery store when they're exhausted and hungry. You're setting them up for failure if you, if you do that, by the way, if they're exhausted and hungry, you need to loosen up your expectations, okay? Your fault. It's okay, it happens sometimes, but don't expect them to then be great behaviors because you set them up for failure. So set them up for success. Their stomach is full, they've gotten up from their nap, they feel good. Screen, if you can limit the screen, like, you're not gonna get great response from your child at dinner to talk and have a great conversation if they've been in front of a screen for 4 hours. I mean, have you noticed that? They get really sassy when they come away from the TV or the iPad or whatever. So obviously we had Chris McKenna talk about screens and technology, so that's a big one. Couple quick ones there. Try just one obstacle at a time. So if you're trying to work on a skill or a behavior or a chore that you're implementing, just do one. Just don't do seven. Just start with one. Go slow. Expect failure 4 out of the 7 days. So, like, let's say you're working on the child. Every time you pick them up from the school bus, right when they see you, they just fall apart and they just turn into mush. They've been like soldiers all day at school, and now they're just losing it with you. Okay, you get it, right? They're tired and all, but you're gonna have to have, like, let's say you're gonna say, we're gonna do better at the end of the school day when I pick you up from the bus. What can we do so that it's not blah, 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 you know? Okay, we can do this, this, and this. This is what I want for you to do. I want you to maybe be able to still carry your book bag to the car, and when you get into the car, you can tell me about your day, but you're not gonna say mean things to me. You know, whatever it is that you're working on, okay? You have that discussion with them. Then, that's that one skill you're working on, that one behavior you're working on. So you then want to just work on that for a week, but 4 out of the 7 days, they're gonna not do well. Okay, you won 3 times, woohoo! So maybe next week, do the same skill again. Do it for 2 weeks until you're getting a little bit more success, but don't be mad when they don't do it right the first time. They're gonna fail over and over, but they'll get better, they'll get better, they'll get better. Then you can add in another skill or behavior change that you're gonna work on. Set your boundaries and communicate expectations in advance. Elizabeth, you know, talked about concise, clear, and consistent. Those are words that she said in her talk. You know how we talked about last year, we talked about the playground and the playground with a fence and the playground without the fence. The playground with the fence made the children have a lot of fun on the playground. They just went and spread everywhere, had a great time, but the children without a fence tended to cling to the teacher. Well, what do we learn from that? Well, what we're thinking is that the boundary is creating security in the child. In other words, you guys telling your children what the expectation is and what the line is makes them feel good. They wanna know, what do you want? Just tell me what you want. They're not gonna say that. They're gonna act like they don't want that, but they do. That brings them a lot of comfort and security to know what your expectations are. consistent. Giving sporadic attention to this process dramatically slows or even dooms the success of whatever it is you're trying to work on. So trying to be consistent. Reward success, obviously praise is a lot more effective than disciplining with consequences. I think reward is the best way to go. If their behavior is bad when they come in the door, but they do put their shoes into the locker, then you talk about the shoes. Nice job, thank you for putting your shoes in the locker like we talked about, that was so helpful. They threw everything else in the wrong place. Try to ignore it for a little bit. Just praise that one thing. And they want it, they want your praise, they want your reward that you're giving them. So try reward more often than implementing punishment. Okay, implementing consequences. Okay, small, swift, and painful. That sounds so terrible, doesn't it? Implementing consequences, you just want them to be small. They don't need to be enormous for one misstep. They need to be swift. So they need to be pretty immediately after the behavior that they did that you need to implement the consequence. The consequence and the bad behavior need to come back to back. They need to be close in time. Painful. I'm not meaning what you're thinking, I'm meaning. Painful can be different for every kid, okay? You need to know your kid's currency. So if your kid is very social, then maybe painful to them is to remove them from a social environment. You have to sit away for 1 minute. I'm so sorry that you chose to do that. That makes me sad, but you can't do that, so you're gonna need to sit out for 1 minute, Maybe a little bit more if it's an older child, but the consequences should be small, swift, and painful, okay? Otherwise, it's not a consequence, right? Allow natural occurring consequences. That's huge. If you can, let nature do its trick. So if your child left their bag, their PE t-shirt at home and they needed it for school, like they call you, I need my PE shirt, like I forgot how to... I mean, sometimes you may go, you know what, you've been doing everything right for so long, like, absolutely, I'll swing by and drop that off for you. Okay, I've done that before too, fine. But in general, you probably shouldn't do that. Don't be saving them. Let the natural consequence happen. Oh, you had to run extra laps today because you didn't have your PE t-shirt? Bummer. That was the natural consequence. Let it happen, don't get in the way, just let it happen. And just remember that the consequence was the result of their choice, not yours. It's not your fault. Disappointment was my strongest tool, I used it very carefully. Yeah, you too? I used it very carefully because I didn't want to always be disappointed with every little thing. But like, if it was bad, like, I just would be like, man, I'm so disappointed. It hurt their heart. It hurt my heart to say it. I was disappointed, and they tell me today that that one really hit home. They did not like it when I was disappointed, and that means I did it well with those other things. I developed relationship, right? Method for consequences, stay calm, emotional regulation is what they're learning that from you, so if your child gets all hyped up, don't you get hyped up too? You stay chill. You're the judge, okay? Limit your consequence with a timer, just don't make it last too long, just a little short time. And then after the consequence, maybe have them report back to you, like, hey, how did that 1 minute in timeout go? Okay, what are we not going to do anymore? Okay, you got that? All right, great. Go have fun on the playground now. Okay, so try to get them to report back to you on what they learned in that consequence. So you may want to snap a picture of this one because I'm not going to talk through all this, but these are some age-appropriate consequence ideas. They're certainly not the end-all be-all, but they're just some ideas of what would be age-appropriate, come on up, consequences for different ages to consider, okay? So, introducing Kristen Petrus. This is her sweet family. She doesn't have much going on, as you can tell. She has a 19, 16, 13, 11, and 7-year-old. It's casual, no big deal. So she's a busy mama, and she is way more expert at chores than me. So I asked her to join me today to talk a little bit about why we need chores and what are some good chores and how you do it. Because if you could get your children to start doing some chores, would it simplify your life? Yeah. Is it going to be hard to begin with? Harder than just doing it yourself? Yeah. But if you do it, eventually your life will be simpler. So that's kind of what we're headed for today. So I'll just say a couple things and then let you jump in. Okay, so why? Why do we do chores? Why are we going to? This is not things we talked about previously. So why? Why are we going to do chores? It's not really just about us having less to do. It's really for their development. So if you keep that in mind with chores, it's not really about you, it's about them. You want to develop dexterity, develop practical skills, grow in independence, build confidence, build team mentality. Do you want to talk on that a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. There we go. So the biggest thing for me is to, when you present your kids with chores, is that it's not a punishment. Pulling in that team mentality of this is something that we all do in our household to contribute. It's not that you live here and I do everything for you. Just like I have chores in my house, I have to do the laundry and wash the dishes. Just that it is a team effort and everybody is contributing, not that they're in trouble and so they have to do chores.
Yeah, and they're gonna develop a work ethic, and you've had to do that, so you know that's good. They're gonna learn grit and resilience. Don't we want our children to have the ability to withstand hard things in life? Well, it's gonna start in your home, so they need to learn those skills. It gives them a self-esteem. It helps grow their self-esteem when they accomplish hard things. And then teachable spirit, man, I could talk a lot on teachable spirit. If we could just have people, adults and children, with a teachable spirit, wouldn't we have a better world? People who are willing to admit wrong and willing to grow and learn and receive correction is an awesome thing. Okay, so tips for approaching chores. Why don't you say something about the beginning on this one, the start young thing.
Yes, so this is one of the biggest things as my time as a leader and mom to mom that I've seen is that as moms, we feel like our kids are too young to do chores, but they can do it. So a two-year-old can do some chores, a three-year-old can do chores, and if you start them doing that at a young age, then that's just what they think the family is like, and that's what we do in our house. So a two-year-old can unload the silverware of the dishwasher. They can go out and get the mail out of the mailbox. If you live on a busy street, you need to be there with them. But they can do those things, and you're developing their self-esteem and their self-confidence when you let them do those.
Yeah, and so start with one chore. If you haven't started chores at all in your household, don't let today's talk overwhelm you. Just start with one. You know, you don't have to make it a big thing, but you might know where you're headed with this. Start with one chore, keep it simple. Work with them the first time and show them how. So if you want them to unload the silverware, do that with them the first time, two times, three times, depending on what they need. If you want them to clean their room, you're gonna probably need to clean the room with them so that they can learn how to and what your expectations are. Put them in charge to take ownership. Do you want to talk? I know you had some ideas on that, the ownership side of things.
So that, we'll have a slide later that shows you how I set it up in my house. But for me, I put the ownership on my kids. I set them up with the expectation of what it is that they need to do. But then it's up to them to do their chores. I don't want to have to continually be nagging. Have you gotten the trash? Mm. Have you, whatever it is that you want your kids to do, they have a chart. If they can't read, you're going to have to help them maybe do a picture instead of words. But if they have that chart and they know what's expected of them, it's up to them to do those actions and not me nagging them to do that.
Yeah, so accept their growth, not perfection. So loosen that perfection that you may have. I know I had that. And it's not a way of controlling them, remember. Set a window of time to complete that chore so it's not open-ended. Like, hey, in the next 3 hours, make sure you do that raking thing that we talked about or whatever. Or maybe for you, it's like every morning at this time or every evening at this time, these things have to be done, right?
Yeah, so whatever works for you, I would figure that out and then present that to your kids. So for me, one thing that I say to my kids is do what you have to do before you do what you want to do. So, for instance, when they come home from school, they do their homework before they go and watch a TV show. And that, because if they start watching their TV show, then the homework is going to get put off and put off, and then it's going to be me nagging them, have you done your homework? Mm-hmm. And to me, I try to tell them this will benefit you for the rest of their life. For us, we want our husbands to maybe go mow the yard before they watch the football game. So just in that aspect, trying to develop that mentality of what you have to do before what you want to do.
Yeah. And then give fewer commands is a benefit. Wouldn't it be great not to say 17 things to them? Put your shoes up. Please go put your shoes up. Did you pack your lunch? Did you blah, blah, blah? And you're just calling out commands all the time. What if you just had a list of those things that they've built up to, and you just go, chore scan, and they know their chore chart, and they just know that they, oh, it's just a reminder for me to go check my chore chart and get my chores done. So you could just say things like chore scan. Make it fun. Whoops. Make it fun if you can. Okay, sometimes you might want to just make it a party. Like sometimes when they're really little, you may just put them a part of your world. If you're dusting, then just like hand them a little sock and let them dust too, because they just kind of want to be a part of your world, and then we can all sing Ariel song. You could do a countdown, 100 seconds. Like, how much could we get done in 100 seconds as a family? Okay, it's after dinner, we're going to clean up. Like, all right, and go. And everybody, you know, just kind of make it fun. Maybe dance music. Maybe it's their favorite playlist you put together, and you let them listen to music and you play it through the house, or you let them listen to it on their earbuds and they go get their chores done, especially the ones they don't want to do, with a little music. So have fun. We've already talked about the consequences, like when they don't, and having reward. We've talked about that a little bit, but praise, praise, praise. Keep it simple, but say thank you a lot. A lot of times that's the reward. But we're also going to talk about monetary reward, because some people like to give children allowances. Some people don't. Some people give money for chores done. Some people don't. So we're just going to give you an example of what really Kristen has done, and I really thought what she has done is really, really good. So I think that this is a really good example of how you can make money correlate with your chore plan. But before, I do want to tell you that the study shows that children that do not get an allowance spend more money. Children who do get an allowance spend less money, because they have learned the value of money and they've learned how to manage it. So it's kind of incentivizing to do that. So tell us a little bit about how you do it, Kristen.
Okay, so for us, I can tell you that I definitely can attest to that. So I have 5 boys, as you said, and there are a lot of times where they'll say, oh, I want this, they really want it, and then when I say, okay, well, then you're gonna have to pay for it, they don't want it anymore. But if I'm gonna pay for it, they definitely want it. So it definitely has been a great correlation between chores and money. So for us, we have 2 different sections for their chore charts. For us, we feel like there's certain things in our family that you should do just because you're a part of our family and you're expected to do, and I'm not gonna pay you for that. So those, for us, we have several character traits that we developed, and I know if you've been in Mom to Mom, we've had speakers before kind of talking about if you have a statement for your family, that type of thing. For us, it's honesty, being honest, respectful, and obedient. And so that is on their chore chart on the top part. We'll show you a picture in a minute. But to me, that is something that we want our kids to have. But also making their bed, cleaning up after themselves. And then for me, having all boys, we do a lot of sports. And I was tired of saying, get your water bottle. Do you have your baseball bat? Do you have your cleats? All that. So that's another thing, is I have a schedule of when they have their sports and they're responsible for getting their things ready. So that is our section that is free. They get no money for that. But then we definitely have the section of what they get paid for, and that you would do based on their age, and that is what they order, or that's what they receive their money for. So for us, that's how we do it. If you are correlating it with money, you definitely have to plan ahead. We do the give, save, spend jars. And so for me, to break it up, if you're giving a kid $2 allowance and you need them to give 10% to give, you've got to go to the bank and get a bunch of nickels and a bunch of dimes and a bunch of quarters. And so it's a lot of work on you. So you have to plan ahead. Make sure you have what is expected of your kids. Set up those expectations. Give them their chore charts. Show them what you want to do. Set yourself up for success, but you definitely have to plan ahead for that.
And I know what you're thinking. Oh, nah.
Yep.
No thanks. It's worth it. It's worth it. There yes. is reward for that. So do hard things now to help your kids later, because it's really about your kids learning, not about just making your life better. It eventually will make your life better.
Yes.
But
So I'll show you a picture with the jars, but so for us, we do give and then save and then spend. And they learn money skills of how to do it. They learn counting of how to take half of this, what's 10%. All of those skills get brought in together. And for when they're little, saving to me is more of you're saving up for a game, or you're saving up for my older kids. They want the Dunks and the Air Force Ones, all those shoes. We will pay for a normal pair of Nike shoes. If they want above that, they pay the extra $100 or whatever it is. So that's saving. You know, we're not making them save for college at this point when they're five. And then spending is more for, hey, I want some candy at the store. I want something little. Go to the movies. But saving is more that you have to take several weeks to get enough money to buy that.
Okay, so I'm going to flip through these fast. So if you want these, just snap a picture, because I'm not going to talk about them. But these are some ideas for age-appropriate chores that you could start getting them. I do want to mention the two-year-old. I love that one. Maybe they could put their dirty clothes in the hamper, and when they toss it in, they're like, sink it, you know, kind of make it fun for them as they're learning new things. But that's maybe two-year-old and three-year-old. Maybe you're helping them along the way when they're feeding the pet. You're holding all of the food, and they just get to scoop it and put the dog food into the bowl. But anyway, you're building their chore muscle abilities. Four-year-old, five-year-old, this is what preschoolers approximately should be able to do. And again, plus or minus, okay? If you haven't done any of this with your children at all, and you're going to start right now, maybe the four-year-old expectations are too high, and you have to start a little lower and build up. Or maybe your child has some learning differences, or you know something. You know your child and what their skill level is, so don't think they all have to be doing this at this age. These are just examples to help give you some ideas. Okay, this is 6, 7, 8, and 9-year-olds. And this is approximately what they should be able to do. Primary schoolers, you know, putting away groceries, wouldn't that be nice? Washing some pans, helping the parent make dinner. Whew, sew on a button. Okay, great. All right, 10 through 13-year-olds. Are y'all all seeing yourself in the hospital with a needle through your finger? Yeah, my son this week has gotten it all into tools, and he put a nail through his finger. That was this week. Anyway, the son that's oldest is like 23. He's fine though. Okay. So this is still, 14 to 17-year-olds. So think that you're trying to get your kids into high school, and these are some things that you should be thinking that they should be able to do, because by the time they're 17, they're going off to college. So you remember Elizabeth talking about her daughter going off to college and the UGA friend who, I don't even remember what her story was, but one of hers went viral recently, through Birds on a Wire. She was talking about her daughter going off to college and the friend not driving her car because the friend didn't know how to put gas in her car. Did y'all see it? It was like 5.1 million views recently for that. It went viral because I think parents are like, yes, I don't want that to happen to my kid. And that's funny, right? So we want to be doing development that they know how to pump their own gas. They should be able to do some chores in the house. So you can't start them at 17. You're going to need to start like working up to things. Okay, the noticing skills I really want to mention. This is so cool. If you could, this is high goals. If you could get your kids to the point of noticing skills, this would be so good. Jennifer Smith and I were talking about this the other day. This was her idea, and I was like, yes, why didn't I do that? So I didn't do this very well. I'm offering it to you. So I'm not saying I did any of this well. I wish I'd done this. So maybe in my next life I can. Noticing skills like helping your kids just look around and see what needs to be done. What? Wouldn't that be so great? So help your kids to be in the habit of seeing what needs to be done and then do it. So you may want to show them what a room looks like when it's done. The pillows are up on the couch, the toys are, the dog stuff is up. You know, this is what the room should-ish look like when it's done. And so then when the child comes in, they're like, hey, could you use your noticing skills and help me figure out what needs to be done in this room? Let them go, ooh, the dog toys are in the wrong spot. Okay, could you do that? You know, work up to noticing skills. How great would that be? So over time, their noticing muscles will get stronger and will be needed less to tell them what to do. Okay, so this is a visual of what Kristen has done for her chores.
Okay, so here's some practical advice for you guys. This is how I set up their chore charts. So on the right, you'll see this is my 7-year-old's. The top part, like I talked about, is for free. That's what's expected. And if they don't do those things, they could, you know, lose screen time, not be able to go to a friend's house, whatever it is that your kid, like Meredith talked about, what will hurt them the most. And then the bottom part is their actual chores. Again, do what works for you. I have how much money they have. But again, for this kid, I would need dimes because he needs to be able to put 40 cents in his give jar. So you have to go to the bank. The people at the bank think I'm crazy because I come in and I'm like, I need $20 of nickels, and, you know, all that.
Oh, so, my word.
And then on the left is just how I set up their chore charts. That's each of them has a cubby in our house and a clipboard, and their chart goes there. So they take ownership. That is in their cubby. They're responsible for looking at it and getting it checked off.
And if you don't have cubbies, that's okay.
Yes.
You come up with what works for you. This is just an example of what she does in her house.
I'm pretty organized, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
That is my cubby. Okay, and then here are just a couple chore charts that I pulled out from past years for my kids. So an example of maybe 4, 7, and 12-year-old. And again, I keep that the our three family values at the top all the way through. But different things, like as they get older, loading the dishwasher is not something I'm going to pay them for because they ate off the dishes. Like, that is something, if you live at my house and you ate, like, you should be able to put your stuff into the dishwasher. So those are just a few examples.
Okay. And last, this is an example of how she does give, save, spend.
Yes. So I have one of these for each of my kids. This is my oldest 19-year-old. That's why it's empty. He uses a bank now. He does not use his mason jars. So what I would do, so $4 is the first example. So they would take 40 cents. They'd have to figure out, okay, what's 10%? Move the decimal. Like, we learn all that. And they put that in give. And then what I do is whatever is left, they need to put half of it in save. And so that teaches them to save. They have the option to put more if they want. Like, if they're trying to get that pair of Nike Dunks, then they might put some more into their save. But it's their choice. They have to at least put half, and then spend is the rest. But I will definitely tell you, when we go to Target and they want candy or whatever it is, I make sure they bring their money beforehand, and a lot of times they don't want it anymore. So it just teaches the value of money. It teaches math skills and how work goes for money.
Let's see, if is there anything else that we didn't say?
Line for me is, I'm raising 5 husbands, hopefully, that are going to be married and be someone's husband someday. And I am trying to raise them to be the best husband that they can be. And for me, a lot of times I'll hear friends, and I'm guilty of it myself, of saying, like, oh, I did all these things. I packed my kids' lunch. I have friends whose kids are seniors, and they're still packing their lunch for school. And they, oh, I have all this stuff to do, kind of like taking on a martyr role. But you are not helping your kids. You are hurting them. Because when my kids get up and or grow up and get married, I don't want to have the daughter-in-law that says, like, oh, he doesn't know how to do his own laundry. So that is what, in my end goal, it is not a punishment that I'm making them do these chores. I am trying to teach them to be productive, contributing members of household, of society. So that, if you keep that end goal in mind, that helps for me.
I hope that this was helpful. I hope that chores and some idea behind the mindset of good discipline in your household might feel a little overwhelming today, but I hope that implementing it now will create some simplicity in your home. So it may take a little upfront work. You might need to do a little homework and get your head together on what you want to happen in your household, and then have a meeting with your husband and y'all get on the same page and maybe start doing some things that you want to work on behavior-wise with your children, and also just some skills that you want to start getting them to pitch in and help with around the house, because it's going to make them better people and hopefully a simpler home for you as well. So that's it.